Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach other doctrine or to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Now, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have deviated from these and turned aside to fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, although they don't understand what they are saying or what they are insisting on. Now, we know that the law is good, provided one uses it legitimately. We know that the law is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinful, for the unholy and irreverent, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral and homosexuals, for kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching based on the glorious gospel of the blessed God that was entrusted to me. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry, one who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. Since it was out of ignorance that I had acted in unbelief, I received mercy. And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy because of this, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate the utmost patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my child, I am giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies previously made about you, so that by them you may strongly engage in battle, having faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and have suffered the shipwreck of their faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander are among them, and I have delivered them to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This letter is not written to the church at Ephesus. It's not written to a congregation, as are most of Paul's pastoral epistles. Usually he's addressing a group, telling a group of people things. And many times we find that easier to relate to because he's talking to the church in Corinth or the church in Philippi. And so we're like, well, we're the church in Ware's Valley, so, you know, we better listen up. But here Paul is writing to a young pastor. And with that comes the danger that you sort of behave as if you're reading somebody else's mail. Okay? I can enjoy that, but in no case do I take it personally. Okay? In other words, this was said by this person to this person. I think that's interesting, but it wasn't addressed to me. Well, this is a letter to Timothy, clearly. Not even to a church, it's to Timothy. So how in the world are we supposed to relate to this? Here's the answer. Because it's God's word. Okay? This is not just a letter from Paul. It is a letter from Paul, but it's a letter from Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he will say to Timothy later. The scriptures were written as God moved people to write them. This is God's word, and therefore all God's children need to take this seriously. As Paul writes to his son in the faith, you and I need to receive as personal the various teachings that are given in these two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, that said, this was written by a real guy to a real guy. Okay? These were real people. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus according to the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Paul is, in just a few sentences later, going to command Timothy to command some other folks, and that isn't something that Timothy can sort of say, well, I'm not feeling it today. Okay? When God speaks, he commands. And you and I have got to learn to respond to God's authority, to accept what he says as being authoritative, binding, a command in our lives. Paul says, the reason I'm an apostle is because God said so. He was sent, to be an apostle is to be sent, and he says, God didn't suggest to me that I ought to go spread the gospel. I was commanded, go and do this. So he says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus according to the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. It's a beautiful description, isn't it? To Timothy, my true child in the faith. Timothy's, we know from the book of Acts, that Timothy's mother was Jewish, and she and Timothy's grandmother both became believers. Timothy's father was a Gentile, and there is every reason to believe that his father did not become a believer. Okay? So Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who said, Jesus is the Messiah. You're Jewish because you're born of a Jewish woman. That makes you a Jew, by the way. You're Jewish. You need to put your faith in Jesus as the Messiah. He is the one that God promised. Dad was not a believer. Dad was not Jewish. Timothy grew up estranged from his father because he put his trust in Jesus. So he grew up estranged from his father in a difficult relationship, and Paul is saying, hey, I'll be a father to you. I consider you my son in the faith. And that is a beautiful gift. That is a wonderful thing. So, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, imagine the warmth that Timothy felt as he read those words. This is not a letter to the church, it's a letter to him. And Paul says, you're my son. I love you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Think for a moment about what it would mean to get a message directly from God to you. If the risen Lord Jesus Christ were to walk into this room so that we could see him physically, we know he's here with us in spirit, but a lot of times our minds kind of wander from that truth. We are not as sensitive as we ought to be to the fact that the risen Christ is here. But if suddenly he visibly, physically walked into this room the way that he showed up in the upper room after the resurrection, what do you think he'd say to you? What do you think he'd say to you? I'll tell you, a lot of people would expect a rebuke. Basically, a lot of believers walk around laboring under this sense that I can just never please him. I can't do enough. I'll give you some examples. Do you pray as much as you should? Well, I mean, I try to pray every day, but do you feel like you pray enough? Well, how much is enough? Okay? If you pray 2 hours a day, that would be a lot more than most people. But is that really enough? When you consider that Jesus gave his life for you, don't you think you should do more? 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 Well, how much do you give financially? Well, I'm a tither. I believe in tithing. I think it's a good thing. 10%, really? 10%? That's it? That's all you do? Well, I there have been times when I've given like 20%. 20%? The fact is, most of us, no matter what we're doing, always feel like, you know, we probably should be doing more. You know, I did this and I did this and I don't do that, but I probably shouldn't do this. But, you know, there's just always kind of this sense that we're not up to snuff. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And let me tell you, he wants to rob you of joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if your nagging sense about how God views you is that he's really just having to exercise self-control in order to keep from blotting you off the planet, okay? Because you just, after all these years, you still don't measure up. You have misunderstood the gospel. Okay? This is not to say that Christians aren't called to holiness. More about that in a moment. But the holiness comes through Christ Jesus as his Holy Spirit. Not only are we credited with righteousness, but his Holy Spirit works in us to make us more and more and more and more like Jesus. But folks, meanwhile, we are seen by our loving Father, robed in the righteousness of Christ, washed clean through the blood of the Lamb. God is not looking at you and saying, yeah, but I remember what you did last month. Please know that. And so the message that is given from God through Paul to Timothy is one that we need to hear as well. Grace and peace to you.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I want us to see this morning three goals expressed. The first is why Timothy is where he is. He has a job to do, and the job is supposed to produce something, okay? As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that, here's what he's supposed to be doing, so that you may command certain people not to teach other doctrine or to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Verse 5, now the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. That's the goal. If people really learn sound doctrine, it's going to change the way that they live. When he talks about the law and the false teaching that's out there, he lists a whole bunch of horrible vices, including people killing people and engaging in sexual immorality and things like that. And he says, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Do you get it? In other words, behaving badly contradicts good teaching. Good teaching, if it does what it's supposed to do in the listeners, in the learners, in the hearers, in the disciples, what it causes is for those people to live a life of love. And if you live a life of love, you don't do those things. I love you, so I'm going to kill you. You know, no, that's not love. Here's another one that's not love. I love you, so let's commit adultery. That's not love. That's not love. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And so when people embrace the truth of sound teaching, the consequence is a different kind of lifestyle. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Now, some have deviated from these and turned aside to fruitless discussions. And he describes people who want to be teachers of the law. Okay? They want to instruct others. And he says, but they don't understand what they're saying or insisting on. In other words, they're very insistent. They tell people this is the way it's got to be, and they're just wrong. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. The law, on the other hand, verse 9, is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and the sinful. He says, don't worry about becoming experts in the law. Paul was an expert in the law. And where it took him was to persecuting Christians to death. He was an expert. He had vast portions of Scripture memorized. He just didn't know the Lord. And he was acting in arrogance and ignorance. Now, that's the first section, verses 3 through 11, where it's talking about the goal of our teaching. The second section, I want you to see the goal, verses 12 through 17, says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry, one who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. Since it was out of ignorance that I'd acted in unbelief, I received mercy. And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. What was Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth? Here's the answer. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't just come to model for us what perfection looks like. He came to save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We were headed for destruction. We were going to perish. There was no way to save ourselves. But verse 17 of John 3 says, because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why he came. But that the world through him might be saved. Why did Jesus come? If anybody ever asks you that, the answer is to save sinners. And I'm a prime example. That's what Paul says. He says, I'm the worst of them. If God can save somebody like me, he can save you. But I received mercy because of this, so that in me, the worst, Christ Jesus might demonstrate the utmost patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. And then he just breaks into a hallelujah breakdown. Do you know what a hallelujah breakdown is? It's when you're talking and you get to talking about God and you just have to pause and say how great he is. Okay? Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now he resumes the letter. Okay? Timothy, my child, verse 18. I'm giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies previously made about you, so that by them you may strongly engage in battle. Here's the third goal. First goal was the goal of our teaching. Second goal, the reason Jesus came. Third goal, is so that by them, these instructions, you may strongly engage in battle. I thought you said, Pastor, that Timothy was kind of a timid guy, okay? Why is Paul telling him that he's got to fight like a soldier? Because he's got to fight like a soldier, okay? So I got to fight these people? No. Some of the people have rejected these commands and have suffered the shipwreck of their faith. Two examples, Hymenaeus and Alexander are among them. And listen to what Paul says. And I have delivered them to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Delivered to Satan? Paul says, yeah. Folks, you and I need to understand, whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether we think about it or not, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are living in hostile territory. You are representing as an ambassador the King who is King. And you're doing it in an area where the rebels have most of the population. Okay? Now, you don't fight the rebels, you fight the foreign government. Okay? Ephesians 6 outlines for us how to do that, and it has to do with finding our identity in Christ. Every piece of the armor that's listed is found in Jesus Christ. Okay? And our job is to stand firm in the face of persecution, mockery, whatever it might be. We're to stand firm. But Hymenaeus and Alexander, because of their behaving like rebels instead of obedient subjects of the Lord, Paul says, I've handed them over in the Spirit. I've handed them over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Not so that they may be destroyed. Paul says about himself, I used to be a blasphemer. What I said and did was blasphemous. There are in the American professing church today people who are living and saying things that are blasphemous, calling evil good and good evil. What do you do? Well, what Paul did here with apostolic authority was to say, I'm going to turn these guys over to Satan, and the result is going to be protection is being removed from them. And yet Paul isn't saying there's no hope left for those guys. He's saying that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Hopefully, when these things occur to them, when the devil begins to really work them over. Isn't it wonderful that even the attacks of the enemy are used by God for our good? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's what we learn from this. So what is the goal? The goal of what Paul is instructing Timothy is so that Timothy might strongly engage in battle. Now, if you haven't noticed, we too are living in a world of hostility. There are a lot of people who hate the truth. They hate our Lord. They hate the Scriptures. They hate us. They are not the enemy. They treat us like we're the enemy, but they are not the enemy. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what Paul tells the Ephesians. And so now he's telling Timothy, look, you need to fight strongly. You need to wage battle courageously. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. That's a letter I want to read, okay? Those are lessons I want to learn. That's stuff I want to put into practice. But the consequence is that I will love ferociously. No matter what, we're going to learn to love even our enemies, even people who treat us badly. We're going to love them because that's being like Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood,
www.wearsvalleyranch.org.